town to town. And now I'd like to settle down. Believe me, dear, that I have learned what it means to love and for you yearn. So please forgive me one more time. Take me back and say you're mine. I'm sad and blue and for you pine. So please forgive me one more time.
Spade Cooley and his orchestra from box set, which we bought in London. Doughboys, Playboys, and Cowboys, the Golden Years of Western Swing. So, of course, Bob Wills was the undisputed king of Western Swing until the end of the war. It's World War II, boys and girls. Then there was a new pretender to the throne in the latter part of the 40s, Spade Cooley. Donnell Clyde Cooley, born in Grand, Oklahoma, just around the First World War, was breaking out in Europe. His parents moved with a toddler to Oregon. Tradition of fiddle playing in the family. By the age of 8, he was quite a decent player. So, of course, music, better appeal than studying, so he swapped the classroom for a career in music. 1934, actually, headed for Hollywood, bent upon a career in Western movies. So he had some success, daytime studio door knocking, eventually signed by Republic Pictures, mainly on the strength of his resemblance to studio star Roy Rogers.
Ah.
All right.
Right.
Box set there at 7:02. I'm Ron Robinson.
And I'm Carol McKibben.
We are the Saturday morning show here for you.
We are.
But your children. And here for you every Saturday morning.
Yes.
6 till 8 on CKWFM 95.9 on your FM dial. All our shows are archived. For those of you who go, you can listen when you like, where you like, how you like. Hello, England.
Yep.
Hello,
as long
Ireland.
As everything is working well, you can listen.
Use that cornucopia cookbook.
Yes.
Potato salad.
Yes.
I was going to play Bud the Spud, but I decided that maybe a bit too much potatoes for a single show. 7:03. Carol, what about the weather?
Well, it's down to -8 now, and it's cloudy. Barometric pressure, 102.3, still falling. Humidity is down to 81%. That's dropped, actually, quite a bit in the last hour. Wind coming from the north at 19, giving you a wind chill of -15. It will be mainly cloudy today. Wind up to 15 kilometers an hour. High of -6 and the wind chill near -13. Tonight, cloudy. Snow beginning after. They've been promising us snow for days and days now, and all we get is a bit of Graupel
tonight.
Yes, okay.
There'll be just lots of snow.
Wind up to 15 kilometers, temperature steady near -6, and the wind chill near -12. So between today, tonight, tomorrow, it's the temperature is not going to really, or I should say last night, today, and tonight. The temperature isn't going to change all that much, a couple of degrees.
What about tomorrow?
Tomorrow we'll have about 2 to 4 centimeters of snow, it says. Wind up to 15 kilometers, a high of -2, so that's better. Wind chill, -10 in the morning, -4 in the afternoon. So that's what we've got for tomorrow. And the sunrise is at 7:55 this morning, and sunset at 16:35.
I just want the opportunity to say, tomorrow.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, we'll have lots of snow tomorrow at 7:05.
Is that a promise? Well,
Uniter
yes.
comes out, as I say, every week here on campus.
Yes.
Uniter. And you can usually you can read it online, but not all of it, I think.
Oh,
so the things
funny.
I've been talking about the last first half hour and now, you might have to want to look it up online. We were talking about Gregorian chant, you may remember, the first half hour.
West End Cultural Center.
Well, this is in this week's Uniter as well. You can pick it up here on campus. You can pick it up usually at Hildegard's. There's usually 4 or 5 copies.
Yes.
The restaurant on the corner of Maryland and Portage, or Into the Music.
Oh, right.
Market Square.
Yeah.
So Mythologizing Art and History, Marcel Zama's Ghosts of Canoe Lake.
I want to see that.
To visit Winnipeg.
Mm-hmm.
Plug-in gallery. Now, don't we go by the plug-in gallery?
We do. We visit right next door to it every Saturday morning.
Because it's same building, I guess, as Stella's.
That's right.
I see. So across from what used to be the bay then.
Yep.
So this is a little write-up by Mac Martens, arts and cultural reporter. With one foot in reality and the other in the subconscious, Winnipeg-born artist Marcel Zama created Ghosts of Canoe Lake, his most recent solo exhibition. The paintings we remember, you would describe as curious, but enchanting. Remember the little figures?
Yeah, they are little figures, and they're mostly done sort of in muted tones of sort of khaki and brown and beige.
Well, he's on to something else now here.
Yeah, he's got color.
Debuting at the McMichael in Ontario in 23, the exhibition has since traveled to Calgary, will open, as in fact it opened yesterday, here.
Yes.
Plug-in, ICA, November 22nd. So, mythology around the well-known Canadian landscape artist Tom Thompson's mysterious death.
Right.
Through a contemporary lens, because it seems to combine with his love and affection for the late poet Federico Garcia Lorca. And as for Tom Thompson, well, quote, Zama says, he was painting on Canoe Lake, and either he fell in, bumped his head, or was murdered. No one knows because his body was removed from where it was. CD Hourglass from 2021 at 10 minutes after 7. So I was mentioning the Marcel Zama exhibition, ICA, across the street from us here.
Yes.
On that corner with Stella's.
So, in the white building with the little
pipes of sand.
Yes, but also things sticking out of it all over the side, the facade of the building. Yeah.
So it opened yesterday, but I want to mention today, November 23rd at 2 p.m., a live chat with Marcel Zama, Wayne Beerwalt, Guy Madden, Allison Norlin, and Robert Enright.
Wow, cool.
So live chat will not be live streamed. It will be recorded and uploaded on our website at a later date.
Oh, okay.
So this is going to run for a while there. And if you go to their website, you can see at least two. You had two illustrations of the paintings.
Yes, yeah.
Ghosts of Canoe Lake. And it runs till March the 8th, 2025.
Oh, okay.
Plenty of time there. But as for their hours.
Yes.
Now, today is a little unusual because of that event, but let's go. So they're closed Sundays and Mondays.
Yes.
So the next chance you would have would be Tuesday and Wednesday.
Right.
Noon to 6. Thursdays noon to 8. Friday noon to 6. Saturday noon to 5. And so we might want to look them up. That's Plug-In.
Institute of Contemporary Art.
Yeah, ICA.
Yep, Marcel Zama.
7-Eleven.
Okay.
Died on this day in 1992. Roy Acuff, American country fiddler, singer.
Yes.
Big Noise. Actually, Ian and Sylvia played in a band with this title at one point. Speckled Bird. Big schism there between the fundamentalists and the yes. From a two-CD set, Pre-War Country, Roy Acuff, who died on this day in 1992, known as the King of Country Music, often credited with moving the genre from early string band hoedown format to the singer-based format that made it internationally successful. Actually, his career kind of, well, he was in Grand Ole Opry in 1938, but musician popularity waned in the 40s. But here's where the money is, Carol. Boys and girls, if you're listening. Acuff and Fred Rose founded Acuff Rose Music.
Oh.
The first major Nashville-based country music publishing company.
Uh-huh.
They signed artists such as Hank Williams, Roy Orbison. Everly Brothers.
Wow.
Bingo, Bango, Bongo.
Okay.
1962, Acuff. Jingling his money all the way to the bank, became the first living inductee into the Country Music Hall of Fame. 716. 716, Carol McKibben.
Yes.
Boys and girls are just waiting to go out and sweep the sidewalk for their parents, so we better get to... Excuse me?
Good kids.
Yes. Get to the Children's Corner is what I was going to say.
Okay.
Time for the Children's Corner on the Weekend Morning Show.
I was just putting away Roy Acuff there into his little box of pre-war country music, which also had Bob Wills, Jimmy Rogers with a D, Gene Autry, Sons of the Pioneers, yeah, Riley Puckett, yep.
The greats.
The greats at 716, boys and girls. So one of the things that we like to think here, we're an educational possibility as well.
Yeah, now I'm curious. Yes. What are you up to?
For the boys and girls.
Okay.
And one of the things I wanted to mention was classical music.
Oh, I see. Right.
Because there's a nice big several-page spread, I think, in today's Winnipeg Free Press.
Right.
Of John Koshman.
Right.
Still playing flute with the Winnipeg Symphony Orchestra after 50 years. Well, this is him speaking.
This is Jan Koshman, principal flutist of the Winnipeg Symphony Orchestra. Tune in to Shades of Classics with host John Iverson on CKUW 95.9 FM every Sunday morning from 8 until 10. Great music at its finest.
There you go.
He's been with the symphony a long time.
Well, I think 50 years,
Wow.
His hair is even longer than mine and whiter than mine. So, boys, classical music
for
everybody.
That's difficult, yes.
But you've got it. It's like...
He's always had long hair.
As the twig is bent, so the tree's inclined.
Right,
so
yes.
Introduce children to classical music when they are young.
Yes.
Mrs. Doodles Weaver in the press box at Indianapolis for the races out here. It's a beautiful day for the races. Not a cloud in the sky. 150,000 people are waiting for this great event. What a spectacle. What a wonderful spectacle. I'll describe the whole thing now. The boys are coming around the turn. I believe it's a perfect shot as they come down here. The green flag waves. The starter says, okay. And there they go! It's car number 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Jack. Jack, hit me again, dealer. Oh, no. Number 10 is taking the lead. Around the far turn he goes. Number 13, 16, 17, a green car, blue car. The first car by the stands will be number 10. Here he comes down the straightaway, 135 miles an hour. There he goes now. Car number 3, 4, 9. A wreck! A wreck in the far turn. A man skidding around, out of control, up to the fence, down to the fence. Unless he's careful, he's getting to the fence. Please don't hit that fence. He hit it. Ladies and gentlemen, there's been a very slight accident in the far turn involving 35 cars. I have my assistant, Pootwaddle, on the track with a traveling microphone. I'm going to have him cross where that driver is. Take it away, but be careful.
I'm down the track now, and as I cross the track, number 3 went by there. As I cross the track, 4 went by there. Well, I'm having a little trouble getting across the track. Here's the driver of that car. Say a few words, driver, so everybody will know you're perfectly okay. You just turned the driver of that car. He's all right. Finish the race, please. Whoop. Ladies and gentlemen, Mrs. Doodles, we are back in the stands for the finish of the race. And for you people who tuned in late, number 13 is setting records. There he goes now, passing everybody. Every eye is glued onto that car. Looks very funny with all those eyes glued on it. Here he goes. There he goes again. Look at that boy drive. Look at him go. He's really moving. There he goes again. Look up. He went by twice. And here's a little midget racer doing well. Look at that little midget. The midget racer went by 9, 12, P38. How'd that get in the race? And up 12, 9. And the best man is number 13 around the turn down to the green flag. He's coming down here for that 10. If think of the perfect finish down here, I believe he's going to be the winner. The crowd is going mad as he comes down, and there goes the winner!
Well, there we are, boys and girls.
Oh, Beetlebaum. Dear.
What did we learn from that? If you bet on Beetlebaum at 2-1, if you put a $2 bet on him, boys and girls, and he wins, you get $4. So this is basic math that is so important as we get older. I see now they're introducing a math course, financial sort of understanding, in high school here. Long overdue, I thought. Long overdue.
How do
I am
you understand
to,
math?
What? Financial planning, like. You know,
oh, I see. Financial maybe, planning.
Well, you know,
oh, they need
savings,
Adam Big Hill.
Savings.
How to
yes,
save your money.
Right. Yeah. Well, the question is, because he's still recovering,
Adam
middle
Big
linebacker
Hill is,
for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Yes. He won't be back to start the next season, so I'm beginning to wonder, is this the time?
Oh, we love him.
The party's over. 7:22, boys and girls. But I know you were expecting one thing and you got another. You know what that's called? Rebellion.
Right.
That's what that's called.
Do you know what I know rebellion from?
No.
Remember we went to that musical Matilda?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's
funny
some
you
rebellion
say that.
Going on there.
Anniversary of the death of Roald Dahl today.
Oh.
Died at the age of 74.
Right.
Not happy about it either, I would imagine. Quite a nasty streak through Mr. Dahl. And you can certainly hear it. Wonderfully performed. In the Matilda, here's Miss Trunchbull explaining it all to the students.
Okay.
This school of late has started freaking. Quiet, maggots, when I'm speaking. Reeking with a most disturbing scent. Only the finest nostrils smell it, but I know it oh too well. It is the odor of rebellion. It's the bouquet of dissent. And you may bet your britches this headmistress finds this foul odoriferousness wholly olfactorily insulting. And so to stop the stench's spread, I find a session of fizz ed sorts the merely rank from the revolting. The smell of rebellion comes out in the sweat, and fizz ed will get you sweating. And it won't be long before I smell the pong of aiding and abetting. A bit of fizz ed will tell us who has a head full of rebellious thoughts. Hold, hold, just like a rotten egg floats to the top of a bucket of water. The smell of rebellion, the stench of revolt, the reek of insubordination, the whiff of resistance, the pong of dissent, the funk of mutiny in action. Before a weed becomes too big and greedy, you really need to nip it in the bud. Position two. Before the worm starts to turn, you must scrape off the dirt and rip it from the mud. The whiff of insurgents, the stench of intent, the reek of prepubescent protest, the funk of defiance, the odor of coup, the waft of anarchy in progress. Once we've exorcised these demons, they shall be too pooped for dreaming. Some double time discipline should stop the rot from setting in. All right, let's step it up. Double time. 1, 2, 3, 4. Discipline. Discipline for children who aren't listening, for midgets who are fidgeting and whispering in history. They're chattering and chittering, they're nattering, and twittering is tempered with a smattering of discipline. We must begin insisting on rigidity and discipline, persistently resisting this anarchistic mischieving. These minutes you are frittering on pandering and pitying, while little uns like this, they just want discipline. The simpering and whimpering, the dribbling and the spittling, the missigning the tissue, it's an issue we can fix. There is no mystery to mastering the art of classroom mistressing. It's discipline, discipline. The smell of rebellion, the stench of revolt, the reek of prepubescent plotting, the whiff of resistance, the pong of dissent, the funk of moral fibrosity. Imagine a world with no children. Close your eyes and just dream. Imagine, come on, try it, the peace and the quiet, a bubbling stream. Imagine a woods with a cottage, and inside that cottage we find a dwarf called Zeke, a carnival freak who can fold paper hats with his mind. And he says, don't let them steal your horses, no, don't let them throw them away, no. If you find your way through, they'll be waiting for you, singing. Nay! Nay!
She's mad!
Aha! And there, just like I said, the stinky maggot rears his head. Even the squittiest, pittiest mess can harbor seeds of stinkiness. Have you ever seen anything more repellent? Have you ever smelled anything worse than that smell of rebellion? The stench of revolt, the reek of insubordination, the whiff of resistance, the pong of dissent. And I will not stop till you are squashed, till this rebellion is quashed, till glorious, sweaty discipline has washed this sickening stain.
There is Miss Trunchbull, who threw the hammer for East Germany in one of the
Olympics
there. Yes. If you know the book, you know the movie.
Yes.
I sit up straight as I talk about this. Speaking of rebellion, on this day in 1644, Areopagitica, pamphlet by what? John Milton, decrying censorship, is published. There you go, boys and girls. That's our children's corner. You're at ease now. Rooms at the ready. Away
yes,
you go.
But if you want to march to the march.
That's true.
Isn't it
so
coming
don't
up?
Go out just yet, then.
Right.
Because I'm looking at the obituaries from Kenneth William Gordon Hilton from May the 6th, 2024. Well, at United College here. That's before it was University of Winnipeg when I was a boy. Ken joined the Canadian Officers Training Corps, that's COTC. Graduation with a BA. Posted to the 4th CIBG in West Germany. Came back to Canada, taught school in Minnedosa. He also enrolled in the Royal Canadian Navy after completing officer training, posted HMCS Naden in Victoria, B.C. Interesting, that's one way of putting it, and a very successful 30-year career with Canadian Forces, including a term with the Army Reserves at Minto. Minto Army, just up the street from us, Carol.
Yes.
It's where the bad girls used to live at one time. What? Gordon maybe. Matthew Holman died June 2024. Born in Souris, Manitoba, Souris, 1934, grew up, educated in Thunder Bay, 1950. Joined the RCAF, served for 5 years. And obituary from a man who died June 26, 2024, David Maurice Gilbert, veteran of the Canadian Armed Forces, Princess Patricia's Canadian Light Infantry. And he had just retired from a 46-year teaching career.
Wow.
So, PPCLI. Well, then let's make our march around the breakfast table this morning. The regimental band, the PPCLI, and Lady Patricia's March. president of the PVCLI, and I sit corrected. That's Lady Patricia March from a 2LP set titled Marches of the Canadian Armed Forces, Traditional and Contemporary, because we often talk about World War II, but I'm looking at the Winnipeg Free Press from October 28th for a little headline monument, a tribute to Canada's Afghanistan War veterans. There's been an unveiling ceremony at the Lieutenant Colonel Harkus Strong VCMC Armory on McRae Avenue. So what they have there is a third-generation light armored vehicle. That's the LAV-3, installed to honor the 40,000 Canadian soldiers who served in Afghanistan between 2001 and 2014, including the 158 who died. 7:34. I'm looking yet again at the Winnipeg Free Press. We draw heavily, but we always give them credit. No Free Press, no Winnipeg Sun, we'd be in deep doo-doo. So William Prince honored with Music Impact Award. There's a picture of the man smiling. He's released a new EP,
yes.
The Sound of Christmas. It's out there now.
Ooh.
But he is the first Manitoban to receive the Alan Slate Music Impact Honor, which is an annual award from Canada's Walk of Fame, recognizing artists making a positive impact throughout their career. And this
what is are we
from,
playing?
Well, let's play Just a Closer Walk with Thee from his CD, Gospel First Nation.
store. Time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely, oh, to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea.
William Prince from his CD Gospel First Nation at 7:40.
I am Mohamed Fahmy, author of The Marriott Cell, an epic journey from Cairo's Scorpion Prison to freedom, and you are listening to CKUW-FM 95.9.
Now is time to continue our tale of A Christmas Carol.
Oh, excellent.
Richard Hurst, who used to do it, used to do 10 in a row, it seems to be my memory, at Delmer upstairs in the attic, remember that? Then he recorded it with a bit of music as well. So we've introduced Scrooge in his counting house.
Yeah.
And Bob Cratchit.
Yes.
And Scrooge, what will it take to change him, you wonder? All right, today, stave 2 of A Christmas Carol.
Scrooge took his melancholy dinner in his usual melancholy tavern, and, having read all the newspapers and beguiled the rest of the evening with his banker's book, went home to bed. He lived in chambers which had once belonged to his deceased partner. They were a gloomy suite of rooms in an old building. Nobody lived in it but Scrooge, the other rooms all being let out as offices. The yard was so dark that even Scrooge, who knew its every stone, was fain to grope with his hands. Now it is a fact that there was nothing at all particular about the knocker on the door, except that it was very large. It is also a fact that Scrooge had seen it night and morning during his whole residence at that place. Let it also be borne in mind that Scrooge had not bestowed one thought on Marley since the last mention of his 7 years dead partner that afternoon. Then, let anyone explain to me, if they can, how it happened that Scrooge, having his key in the lock of the door, saw, in the knocker, Marley's face. Marley's face. It was not an impenetrable shadow, but looked at Scrooge, as Marley used to look, with ghostly spectacles turned up upon its ghastly forehead. The hair was curiously stirred, as if by breath or hot air, and though the eyes were wide open, they were perfectly motionless. That, and its livid color, made it horrible, but its horror seemed to be in spite of the face. As Scrooge looked fixedly at this phenomenon, it was a knocker again. To say that he was not startled would be untrue, but he put his hand upon the key he had relinquished, turned it sturdily, walked in, and lit his candle. He did pause, with a moment's irresolution, before he shut the door, and he did look cautiously behind it first, as if he half expected to be terrified at the sight of Marley's pigtail sticking out into the hall. But there was nothing on the back of the door except the screws and nuts that held the knocker on, and so he said, "Pooh! Pooh!" and closed the door with a bang. The sound reverberated through the house like thunder. Every room above and every cask in the wine merchant's cellar below appeared to have a separate peal of echoes of its own. Scrooge was not a man to be frightened by echoes. He fastened the door, walked across the hall and up the stairs, slowly trimming his candle as he went. Darkness was cheap, and Scrooge liked it. Before he shut his heavy door, he walked through his rooms to see that all was right. Sitting room, bedroom, all as they should be. Nobody under the table, nobody under the sofa, a small fire in the grate. Nobody under the bed, nobody in the closet, nobody in his dressing gown, which was hanging up in a suspicious attitude against the wall. Quite satisfied, he closed his door and locked himself in, double-locked himself in, which was not his custom. Thus secured against surprise, he took off his cravat, put on his dressing gown and slippers and his nightcap, and sat down before the fire to take his gruel. As he threw his head back in the chair, his glance happened to rest upon a bell, a disused bell that hung in the room and communicated, for some purpose now forgotten, with a chamber in the highest story of the building. It was with great astonishment and with a strange, inextricable dread that, as he looked, he saw this bell begin to swing. It swung so softly in the outset that it scarcely made a sound, but soon it rang out loudly, and so did every bell in the house. This might have lasted a half minute, but it seemed an hour. The bells ceased as they had begun, together. And then they were succeeded by a clanking noise deep down below, as if some person were dragging a heavy chain over the casks in the wine merchant's cellar. The door flew open with a booming sound, and then he heard the noise much louder on the floors below, then coming up the stairs, then coming straight towards his door.
Humbug! I won't believe it!
His color changed, though, when, without a pause, it came through the door and passed into the room before his eyes. Upon its coming in, the dying flame leaped up as though it cried, "I know him! Marley's ghost!" and fell again. The same face. The very same. The chain he drew was clasped about his middle. It was long and wound about him like a tail, and it was made, for Scrooge observed it closely, of cash boxes, keys, padlocks, deeds, and heavy purses wrought in steel. His body was transparent so that Scrooge, observing him and looking through his waistcoat, could see the two buttons on his coat behind. Though he looked the phantom through and through and saw it standing before him, he was still incredulous and fought against his senses.
"How now?"
said Scrooge, caustic and cold as ever.
"What do you want with me?"
"Much."
Marley's voice. No doubt about it.
Who are you?"
"Ask me who I was."
"Who were you then?"
"In life, I was your partner, Jacob Marley. You don't believe in me."
"I don't."
"Why do you doubt your senses?"
"Because a little thing affects them. A slight disorder of the stomach makes them cheat. You may be an undigested bit of beef, a crumb of cheese, a fragment of underdone potato. There's more of gravy than of grave about you, whatever you are."
Scrooge was not much in the habit of cracking jokes, nor did he feel in his heart by any means waggish then. The truth is that he tried to be smart as a means of distracting his own attention and keeping down his terror, for the specter's voice disturbed the very marrow of his bones.
"Humbug, I tell you! Humbug!"
At this, the spirit raised a frightful cry and shook his chains with such a dismal and appalling noise that Scrooge held on tight to his chair to save himself from falling into a swoon.
Mercy, dreadful apparition! Why do you trouble me?"
"Man of the worldly mind, do you believe in me or not?"
I do. I must. But why do spirits walk the earth, and why do they come to me?"
"It is required of every man that the spirit within him should walk abroad among his fellow men. And if that spirit goes not forth in life, it is condemned to do so after death. It is doomed to wander through the world and witness what it cannot share, but might have shared on earth, and turn to happiness."
Again, the spectre raised a cry and shook its chain and wrung its shadowy hands.
You are fettered,"
said Scrooge, trembling.
"Tell me why."
I wear the chain I forged in life. I made it link by link and yard by yard. I girded it on with my own free will, and of my own free will I wore it. Is its pattern strange to you?
Scrooge trembled more and more.
Oh, would you know the weight and length of the strong coil you bear yourself? It was full as heavy and as long as this 7 Christmases ago. You have labored on it since.
Scrooge glanced about him on the floor in the expectation of finding himself surrounded by 50 or 60 fathoms of iron cable. But he could see nothing.
Jacob! Old Jacob Marley! Tell me more! Speak comfort to me, Jacob!
I have none to give. It comes from other regions, Ebenezer Scrooge. A very little more is all that is permitted to me. I cannot rest. I cannot stay.
But you were always a good man of business, Jacob.
Business? Mankind was my business. The common welfare was my business. Charity, mercy, and benevolence were all my business. The dealings of my trade were but a drop of water in the comprehensive ocean of my business.
It held up its chain at arm's length, as if that were the cause of all its unavailing grief, and flung it heavily upon the ground again.
Hear me. My time is nearly gone.
I will, but don't be too hard on me, Jacob.
I am here tonight to warn you that you have a chance and hope of escaping my fate.
You were always a good friend to me.
You will be haunted by 3 spirits.
Oh, I think I'd rather not.
Without their visits, you cannot hope to shun the path I tread. Expect the 1st tomorrow when the bell tolls 1.
Couldn't I take them all at once and have it over, Jacob?
Expect the 2nd on the next night at the same hour. The 3rd upon the next night when the last stroke of 12 has ceased to vibrate. Look to see me no more. And look that for your own sake, you remember what has passed between us.
The apparition walked backward from him, and at every step it took, the window raised itself a little, so that when the specter reached it, it was wide open. Scrooge became sensible of confused voices in the air, wailings inexpressibly sorrowful and self-accusatory. The specter, after listening for a moment, joined in the mournful dirge and floated out upon the bleak, dark night. Scrooge followed to the window, desperate in his curiosity. He looked out. The air was filled with phantoms, wandering hither and thither in restless haste, and moaning as they went. Every one of them wore chains like Marley's. They and their spirit voices faded together, and the night became as it had been when he walked home. Scrooge closed his window and examined the door by which the ghost had entered. He tried to say,
"Hum!"
but stopped at the first syllable. And being from the emotion he had undergone, or the lateness of the hour, much in need of repose, went straight to bed without undressing, and fell asleep upon the instant.
Oh, dear, I thought, you know, those voices. I heard a voice saying, "I should have donated to the fund drive."
Yes.
In February, coming up. So there's still time. And there is still time, because
yes,
that's stave 2. Richard Hurst has broken this into 6 staves. So next week, stave 3.
Okay.
Now, if you want your Christmas carol all at once, that can be provided.
Yes. And
I will be reading a Christmas carol at Dalmatian Museum, just off Broadway there. December 19th, 20th, which is December 19th, which is a Thursday, 20th, which is a Friday, Saturday, the 21st. And then for people with deep pockets, we'll be in the parlor. There's room for 15 of you.
Wow.
Yeah. On the 22nd. And by the way, I have it on good authority that Santa will be on CBC Radio.
Yes.
On December 24th.
Oh.
Had a confirmation of that.
He's cutting it a little close there, isn't
he? Well, he's like that, as you know, but he can move faster than stink. So I think he will come down live.
Okay.
To CBC across the street from us here for Radio Noon is what my expectations are. By the way.
Yes.
Zoo Lights. Started yesterday.
Oh, cool.
Cinnamon Park Zoo. What are we talking? Holiday tradition. Wonderland filled with tasty treats, cozy fire pits, and over a million lights.
Oh, man.
Thank you, I guess, Manitoba Hydro. I'm just guessing here. So there's all kinds of new things going on, but details, tickets online. Assiniboine Park, one word. AssiniboinePark.ca, and it continues, but on December the 11th. That's an evening designed to provide a more comfortable experience for guests with sensory regulation or processing needs.
Oh, cool.
There you go. Carol McKibben, one last look at the weather.
Oh, sure. Well, what we've got is minus 8 degrees, barometric pressure 102.3 and falling, humidity 81%, that fell today, wind coming from the north at 19, and the wind chill minus 15. It's going to be cloudy today, Ron. Wind up to 15 kilometers an hour, a high of minus 6, a wind chill near minus 13, but the UV index is just 1. It's going to be cloudy. Tonight, cloudy, snow starting after midnight, wind up to 15 kilometers, temperature will remain steady around minus 6, and the wind chill minus 12. Tomorrow, 2 to 4 centimeters of snow, wind up to 15 kilometers, a high of minus 2, a wind chill of minus 10 tomorrow morning, but minus 4 in the afternoon.
Which I think is the tomorrow. Normal high.
Which is going to be around the normal high.
All right, it's 7:55. I'm Ron Robinson.
And I'm Carol McKibben.
We are the Saturday Morning Show. We're here for every Saturday, 6 till 8. Back then, next Saturday. Don't forget, Pages, Radio for Readers.
Right.
Here for you. Thursdays at 5 to 5:30 here on CKWFM 95.9 on your FM dial.
Yes.
Leave you with a thought. I'm looking at the BBC from about 4 days ago. Hong Kong jails 45 pro-democracy campaigners for subversion. Benny Tai, 60, Joshua Wong, 28, among the so-called Hong Kong 47 group of activists and lawmakers who were involved in a plan to pick opposition candidates for local elections. Yeah, that's subversion, all right. Hmm. So Tai received 10 years, while Wong received more than 4 years, and a total of 45 people were jailed for conspiring to commit subversion. So with that in mind, we turn to Wei Weiisms, book by put together by Ai Weiwei. Here he is on Beijing. The worst thing about Beijing is that you can never trust the judicial system. Without trust, you cannot identify anything. It's like a sandstorm. You don't see yourself as part of the city. There are no places that you relate to, that you love to go. You have no memory of any material texture, shape. Everything is constantly changing according to somebody else's will, somebody else's power. Stay tuned now for Green Planet Monitor up next.